There was an efficiency expert who finished up a lecture with a word of caution. He said, look, as good as these things that we've been talking about, as good as these techniques are, you don't want to try them at home. Someone hollered from the back of the audience, why not? Well, you see, the expert said, I watched my wife's routine at breakfast for years. She made a lot of trips to the refrigerator, to the stove, to the table, to the cabinets, and usually she would just carry one item at a time. I suggested to her, honey, look, why don't you try carrying several things at once? That would be a lot more efficient. The person in the audience asked, well, did it save time? The expert replied, actually, yes. It used to take her 20 minutes to get breakfast ready. Now I do it in 7. We all want to bring out the best in other people. I mean, as followers of Jesus, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to bring out the best in each other. We want to motivate each other to become more faithful in our walk with the Lord. We want to encourage each other to be more focused, more driven followers of Jesus Christ. But sometimes in our efforts to bring out the best in one another, sometimes we can bring out the worst. I can tell you how many times in a week, Jennifer or I hear one of the boys complaining, leave me alone, right, to one of their brothers. And the other one saying, look, I'm just trying to help, all right? Because here's the thing, most people don't respond well to criticism. It doesn't matter if you really and truly want to help a person. Nobody appreciates criticism. If criticism worked, of course, that'd be one thing. But usually, not always, but usually it doesn't work at all. Usually it drives people away. Usually it's a barrier in a relationship. Usually it tears people down more than it builds people up. And as followers of Jesus, we're about building one another up. We're about encouraging one another. That's actually the language that Scripture uses. Listen, my hope and my prayer is that in the days ahead, God will use Ellendale Baptist Church to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God didn't call us here to be a safe haven from the world. That was never the purpose of the church. God placed us here to reach this world, to see the lost of this world come to know Jesus Christ. And if we're doing that, if we're really doing that, we're going to have people here who may not know the ins and the outs of following Jesus like you do. If we're reaching the lost of this community with the gospel of Jesus, we're gonna have people coming to our church who, guess what? They might act like lost people. And the temptation will be to complain. The temptation will be to tear down rather than build up. The temptation will be to drive them away rather than to bring out God's best in them. And so the question is, how do we avoid that? How can we be the kind of church that will help non-believers, non-Christians discover what it means to belong to a loving relationship, to have a loving relationship with God? How can we be the kind of church that will help new Christians grow in God and older Christians stay excited about God? How can we be that kind of church without taking on a critical spirit that will just drive everybody away? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight as we look at Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there with me. Mark 9, 38 through 50. Tonight we're going to think about bringing out God's best in others. How can we bring out God's best in those around us without driving them away. Mark 9, 38 through 50. Let me invite you, if you will, to stand as we read God's word together. John said to him, that's Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck he had been cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Let's pray together. Father God, we do ask you, Spirit, we ask you to highlight in our minds that which you want us to hear tonight, that which you want us to see. Lord, I pray that we would be hearers of the word, that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Lord, that we would receive this and we would change. Thank you, Lord, that we have this word, that we have the Bible, that we have it in our language, that we have access to it, that we can understand it, we can read it, we can study it, and we can grow in it. Lord, help us to do that tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. All right, so in this passage, we see the disciples slipping into this thing that we sometimes have a hard time with as well, this issue of a critical spirit. Right off the top, John is quick to point it out. He says, "Teacher, someone was casting out demons in your name." But get this, this guy was not following us. He was not with us. "We've been following you for 3 years, Jesus, but this guy, he didn't go to the right school. He didn't do it the way we do it, so we tried to stop him." Of course, the ironic thing is, if you read this passage in context, that these same disciples, including John, had just failed to cast out a demon, and here's a guy actually doing it, and they try to get him to stop. Imagine that. I mean, just think about how twisted that logic is. These guys would rather someone continue to be oppressed by evil than to experience freedom at the hands of somebody just because that somebody wasn't with them. But we can be that way, can't we? We hear about something good that's happening at another church and we look for the flaws, right? Ah, they're just growing because they're watering down the scripture. They're trying to entertain instead of worship. They're doing this or they're doing that. We criticize because they're not with us. What does Jesus say about that? Verse 39, he says, "Look, do not hinder him, for there's no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us." Folks, listen, we are all on the same team. We're in this thing together. And, And Jesus says, look, he says, I'm going to reward even the smallest thing somebody does in my name for my glory. Verse 31, he says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. So don't stop the young and inexperienced. Don't be critical of people who are trying to serve me, Jesus says, even if it isn't up to your standards, because those you criticize, if they're doing it for my glory, Jesus says, I'm going to reward them. And so if we don't criticize, then what do we do? How do we bring out the best in one another? First, don't stop them. Don't stop them. This is a little bit redundant, but we need to be sure and hear this. Don't keep people from ministering in Jesus' name, even if all they do is give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Because even if that's all they do, Jesus is good with that. And after all, Jesus is what it's about anyway, right? Kay Warren, Rick Warren's wife, talks about returning home to California with a friend and passing through Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. On the way to their connecting gate, they heard loud patriotic music playing. They saw a group of mostly women wearing colorful hats, cheering, waving the American flag. The troops were coming home, right? And this was their welcoming party. Two women encouraged Kay and her friend to grab flags and, you know, join in. They were early for their next flight, so they took places in this makeshift greeting line. At first, a few soldiers just kind of, you know, dribbled by, but that crowd, they whooped and they waved their flags furiously. Then the pace picked up as dozens of men and women in uniform just came barreling through. Everyone kept repeating, hey, welcome home. We are so glad you're back. We appreciate you. We appreciate your service. Some soldiers wiped away tears, while others just displayed huge self-conscious smiles. Friends, listen, we're soldiers in God's army. And we are engaged in a difficult spiritual battle. Some of us are tired. Some of us are weary. Some of us are wounded. Some of us are hurt. Some of us are discouraged because there doesn't seem to be much progress. But there will be a day when we will all come home to glory, and Jesus himself will be on that welcome wagon, and it will be worth everything we go through here. You can be sure there'll be some tears, especially among those who feel unappreciated today. Look, maybe that's where you're at right now. You've done your best to serve the Lord, to serve your family, to serve this community. Maybe you feel like nobody seems to appreciate it. Maybe your efforts have been criticized and you're ready to give up. Don't give up. Because Jesus appreciates your efforts. Jesus is your biggest fan, no matter what anybody else says. Jesus will reward every cup of cold water given in his name. He will reward our smallest efforts to serve him. But man, why wait until heaven to get in on all the fun of that welcoming party? Because there are people right here in this room who need to hear your words of appreciation today. They don't need to hear your words of criticism. They don't need to hear of how they did it wrong. They need to hear you say, look, I appreciate you. I appreciate your efforts to serve. Thank you. Man, how much we could lighten the load of each other just by saying thank you on a regular basis. Our words of encouragement can give even the most weary servant the courage that it takes to keep going just one more day. But on the other hand, our critical comments can stop them dead in their tracks. Don't stop people with your criticism. Encourage them with your gratitude. So don't stop them. Second, don't trip them. Don't trip them. Don't cause people to stumble. Don't trip up people with your words. Look again at verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if with a heavy millstone hung around his neck he had been cast into the sea. Who's Jesus talking about here? Well, if we take it in context, Jesus is talking about the man the disciples told to stop serving. They rebuked someone because he wasn't with them. Because he wasn't with them, he wasn't as important in their eyes. Sometimes our words of encouragement can do more than just stop people from ministering. Sometimes we can trip people up to such a degree that they stop following Jesus altogether. We can be like the Legos my kids used to leave laying around the floor. Man, parents, grandparents, is there anything worse? I mean, I think that's what hell's going to be like. You're just going to have to walk across a room full of Legos for all eternity. There's nothing worse than stepping on one of those things in the middle of the night, by the way. It's going to be dark the whole time. I've told my guys, look, man, if you leave these things out, and if I step on one of them, it's going in the trash. You have to know this. Friend, that's how God feels about people who cause his children to stumble. He says it would be better for you to be drowned in the ocean than to do that, than for you to impact someone's eternity to that extent. Bring out the best in other people following Jesus. Don't stop them. Don't trip them. Third, don't trip yourself. Because after all, they're looking to you. There are people in your circle of influence who are looking to see how you will respond to certain situations. That's why Jesus says to be careful. Look at verse 33. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter the life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, of course, what Jesus is not saying here is that we literally have to cut off our hands and our feet or pluck out our eyes to enter into the kingdom of God, to get into heaven. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus has already done everything we need to do that we need to get into heaven. Jesus has already done that work. What Jesus is doing here, of course, is he's using hyperbole. He's exaggerating to make a point. And the point is this: do whatever it takes to keep from tripping up. Take drastic measures, if you have to keep yourself from being scandalized in your own relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you have trouble being critical, if you're struggling with a critical spirit, this is how you get past it. Worry more about yourself than you worry about those around you. Notice Jesus doesn't tell us to go around cutting off other people's hands and feet and plucking out other people's eyes, right? Now look after yourself. Don't trip yourself up, and then maybe you won't trip others. About 16 years ago, a guy by the name of Aaron Ralston went climbing in an area near Canyonlands National Park, known as the Blue John Canyon. It's over in southeastern Utah. It was supposed to be a one-day hike, but something awful happened as he used his his gear to negotiate a narrow canyon. Ralston pushed his arm into a crack in the canyon wall, and an 800-pound boulder shifted and pinned his arm. He tried to use a dull pocket knife to chip away at the boulder without success. He tried to rig up a makeshift pulley with ropes to lift the boulder, move it off of his arm. That failed as well. After 3 days, having gone through most of his 3 liters of water and his food, he decided to sacrifice his arm to save his life. First bending his body in order to break his wrist bone, he proceeded to use his knife to amputate his arm just below the right elbow. Amazingly, Ralston was able to remain conscious. 27-year-old mountain climber then applied a makeshift tourniquet and rappelled 60 feet to the canyon floor. He says, "I'm not sure how I handled it. I felt pain," he said, and "I coped with it. I moved on." According to the sergeant of the sheriff's department in that area, he said Ralston would have died if he had stayed in that canyon. But he had a will to live, and he did whatever was necessary to stay alive. That's the kind of calling that Jesus has placed on us. He wants us to do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary to keep from tripping ourselves and tripping those around us. Bring out the best in others. Don't stop them. Don't trip them. Don't trip yourself. And then finally, encourage them. Encourage them. Look at verse 49. Jesus continues. He says, "For everyone will be salted with fire." Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. What is Jesus talking about here? I think here he has in mind a couple of things. First, he's talking about the purifying nature of salt, right? Sometimes we want to be God's purifying agents. That was the big problem with the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They saw themselves as God's moral detergent, right? All the while, they were as dirty as anybody else. That's what Jesus means in verse 49. He says, look, everybody's going to be salted with fire. Everyone is going to be purified with fire. Life is going to handle most of the mistakes people make. You don't have to. There are enough problems, enough burdens, there are enough lessons to be learned through our failures without having the morality police piling on criticism. The fire of life is going to take care of that kind of salting. You don't have to purify, but you can influence. He says, if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? That's what salt does when it's used in the right amount. It flavors. It influences. Salt, when it's salty, brings out the best in the food that it seasons, right? And listen, friend, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to bring out the best in those around us. He wants you to, wife, to bring out the best in your husband. Husband, bring out the best in your wife. Bring out the best in your children. Bring out the best in the children and the people that you work with, that you go to school with, that you come to church with. Influence. Influence with love. Influence with accountability. Influence with encouragement. Influence with a life that people want to mirror. Don't stop them. Don't trip them, and don't get tripped up yourself. Instead, encourage them. Encourage them with the way you live. Influence them with the things that you say. Encourage them to be like Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Will you stand with me? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. My question for you as we finish up tonight is, do you know Jesus? This is his instruction to us. And the deep sense I get from reading this passage is, I think what Jesus is saying, the big message here is that the kingdom of God is so much more important than the temporal things of this life. The reason we want to influence others with the gospel of Jesus is because we want to bring those people into the kingdom with us. Our tendency is to put so many things in front of the kingdom, so many temporal things that just will not matter in eternity. Jesus wants us to look at eternity and to live for eternity. And that all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ.